So the prophet Micah, as was referenced in Matthew 2, way over four centuries before the baby was coming, the prophet writes these words: "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Moves down to verse 4. "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Talking about Jesus over four centuries before he came. I don't know about you, but we're blessed, yeah? We live this side of the empty tomb. We live this side of it. Imagine that. Imagine God, who so loved the world. Imagine the method in which he wanted to communicate that. Imagine that. Imagine that everything he's saying, a voice is coming. A lamb is coming. A new high priest is coming. Imagine all of that strategically trying to think through a human brain, and yet the way God wanted to do it was in a lowly animal's feeding trough. He came. Imagine that. Now, here's why I can imagine that. Because for each one of you, put yourself in this place. He imagined you. He imagined me. So much so that he knew he needed to send his son, you see, because he saw Des, a mistake-prone, selfish-prone, a pride-prone, arrogant-prone man who needed rescuing, who needed restoring, who needed forgiving, who needed strengthening, who needed hope, who needed a security that his life would be placed on a rock, who needed that, who needed a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, 27,000th chance, that his grace would be boundless. He needed me to know that he so loved me that he wanted to come to be with me. I shared it at 3 and 5. That one line has got me this week. And that is the word Emmanuel, God with us. My translation is quite literally the King of the universe sitting next to me and saying, "Des, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here. I'm not distant. I'm here for you. I'm here for you." So really quickly, don't you find it like, wow, cool, amazing that Jesus calls himself the bread of life when he was born in the house of bread? It's just yes. It's just amazing and brilliant. And what's the thing with bread? John 6, 35, Jesus then declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty." I'm like, okay, it isn't literal what he's talking about, food and drink there, but wow. We all know what hunger feels like. We know what hangry feels like. We all know what it is to be in a season of life where everything is dry and unsatisfied. And he says, listen, I am everything. What's the deal with bread? And I know bread gets a bad deal these days. It never used to get a bad deal, bread. It gets a bad deal now, this intolerant and that and the wheat and the gluten and the carbs and the blah, blah, blah. Let me just put that to one side. Just get over that for a minute. I've been to quite a number of nations in the world. There's always bread. I remember going on our honeymoon to Egypt, and me and Mel went over to across the Nile to the Valley of the Kings and the Queens, and we went to see this village, and there were still people living as if it was thousands of years ago, and they would have this stone oven out in the kind of yard space at the front of their house, and every morning something was made in that oven. Every morning the household woke up to, oh yeah, the smell of freshly baked bread. I remember going on vacations to France, and me as a dad, you know, being the superhero, I'd go out in the morning to the patisserie and would get the freshly baked bread, the baguettes that we would have for lunch and bring them back. But with it was breakfast in the form of, you call them croissants, they're called croissants. And I would get freshly baked croissant and the pain au chocolat. You call them chocolate croissants. Pain au chocolat. Chocolate bread. That's what it means. And I would go and bring, and there is something like, oh, it's so good. Forget the carbs, the intolerance, the wheat. Forget it. Just something so good. Well, what is it about bread? Bread is something that is there. Even Jesus in his temptation declares to the enemy, look, man shall not live by bread alone. What is it about bread? It's that simple, when you strip it all away, it is that pure form, just bread. It is basic, and yet it is satisfying. And Jesus said, I am that bread. Maybe you're looking in all different kind of spaces for some kind of life to bring you fulfillment. You're looking for an extra secret code, and you're thinking, no, I'm talking to believers right now. You're still looking for a bolt on, looking for something extra that will take your life from ordinary to extraordinary. And Jesus is saying, it's in me, I'm the bread. It's right here. It's simple in simple form. It's just bread. Stop looking for some extra special moment. It's just in me. Come to me. Let me be all that you need to be. It's pretty amazing in the house of bread. I've got some bread here on this little plate in the form of a glazed Krispy Kreme donut. Forget your diet, your gluten, wheat, blah, blah, blah thing. Who thinks these are a little taste of beauty? Raise your hands. Raise your hands if the Krispy Kreme glazed donut baked today is amazing. Yeah? Are these guys going out to help me, Aaron? Yeah, you need to come this way, dude. Come this way. Behind those trees over that side, I ordered 360 Krispy Kreme glazed donuts. There's boxes all behind there. If a couple of people want to help, there's 30 boxes. And we're going to distribute super quick. And I want you to hold it in your hand and not eat it till the end of the service. We're only like 8 minutes away, guys. You can do it. And if you genuinely will die if you eat this, pass it on. But if there's any other reason, I don't care. Like, just let it happen. Take the pill or whatever you need to take tomorrow. I want to just raise this. And so, okay, guys, just distribute. Grab a box, send it down your row. They're super sticky. Just wipe the stickiness on the person's back in front of you. You'll be fine. Just go, distribute. Send the boxes everywhere. And I want to make sure everybody just gets one. One. Make sure people get one. Because what's left's coming home with me. One. There may be more people than there are donuts, but hey, you can break that bread. You don't want to, I know. So let me talk to you about this while this is being distributed. What is it that you are hungry for? It's not just the Krispy Kreme glazed donut. What is it this Christmas, as we end this year, what is it that you are hungry for? What is it that right now seems impossible, but you are craving it? What is it that you are pining for? What do you feel hungry for? And have you gone to the Lord and cried out to Him for that? Say, Lord, right now in this time and space, this I am hungering. And you said you're the bread of life. And you said anybody who comes to me will not need to hunger or thirst. You said, Lord, so if I'm a bit offline, help me here. But I'm coming to you and I'm asking you that would you bring a breakthrough? Would you restore me? Would you lift me up? Would you, whatever fill in the blank it is, need to be? Because this is why He came. He didn't just come that we could have a sweet little baby Jesus time. He came in that lowly form to embrace your lowly form, but He came to reveal Himself as the very bread of life. And as good as this is, He is greater. Like He is greater. Now, here's the skill. In your other hand, you need to get your candle. I mean, you could have put the candle in the donut, but that could spoil the donut. So we're going to put you in your other hand. Some of you here are just like, wow, this really was more informal than I anticipated. And so in that time, I'm going to ask the ushers now to come forward with the lighters and light the candles and we'll pass them down. So you've got the light of the world in one and the very bread of life in the other. And I want you to take that moment and we're going to sing Silent Night together. We're going to sing Silent Night. See, if you'd come this afternoon and tonight, we've got that top 10 laid down. In song, we're going to sing Silent Night. There is something about that. There is a line, sleep in heavenly peace. What is that? Sleep in the knowledge that it is well with my soul. A peace that is complete, that is shalom, that is wholeness. Sleep in heavenly peace. Because why the line says in Silent Night, Christ the Savior is born. Because a baby is a coming. The Savior is born. Spend time with that. And then we're starting to light the candles. This is awesome. So we can dim the lights and let's sing together Silent Night. Thanks, Taylor.